37:25 said, I've been young, and now am old. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29 said, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray hair. Job 32:6 said, and Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I'm young, and ye are very old. Isaiah 46:4 said, and even to your old age I am he, and even to her hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need your strength as much or more than we've ever needed before. We pray, oh God, that you would undertake and enable us and empower us to preach this morning. Be with our mind and our thoughts. Be with our tongue. Help us to be an encouragement and a blessing to these thy people. Lord, pray for Brother Carol and his surgery. Pray for Brother Rick and his surgery. Pray for Brother and Sister Kathy and Tommy Stewart, their court date. Lord, I pray that you'd move, have your will and your way in each one of those situations. Lord, undertake on their behalf. Lord God, we'll be careful to give thee the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'll bring you a little message this morning entitled, Wisdom from the Hoar Head. Now, I had hoped there would be a couple of young men here this morning, but they're not here. But the whorehead, H-O-A-R, not the dirty word, not that your mind first conjured up. This has to do with old age, the Ancient of Days, and the hoarfrost, that white, that is, the white-headed men, the gray hair, the old folks, the blue hairs, you know, that group. There's nobody here like that this morning, but if we ever get any of those senior citizens, you know, they tend to have the hoar head, the white hair. And the Bible said, wisdom is found with the gray hair. And so I want to talk to you about some things this morning that you don't normally know when you're young. And you can know them. You can learn from others if you use your head. And save you from a lot of distress and mistakes and wandering around. Amen. So I pray the message will be a help to you this morning. Now, the four verses that we read that I want to deal with all have to do with youth and old age. And I've kind of arranged them to give me a storyline here to bring us to a particular place. Now, the first thing I wanted to call your attention to is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. It said, the glory of young men is their strength. And boy, it's talking about youth. Of course, the Bible uses the term young man, but we're going to use it in a more generic sense, young people, because in our youth is where we have the most of our strength. It is where we have most of our dreams. It is where we have most of our ambition. It's where we lay the foundation for future years, for success or failure, is laid in youth. It's where we have, we're more unabashed, we're bolder, we're more tenacious, we have more energy in our youth. And so in our younger years, that's where we do all of our fighting, that's where we do all of our planning, that's where we do, that's where we get our education, that's where we learn our trade, that's where we marry, that's where we bear our children, that's where we lay the foundation for all that we'll need in old age. All that's done in our youth, and it's right and fitting and proper because that's when we're the strongest. Now, there's some risks that go along with that because, one, we're ignorant. We've never been down this road before. And everything looks bright and shiny to young people. Young people tend to be gullible. They get sucked in. They tend to believe everything that everybody tells them. So there are some risks and hazards in youth. But, well, what a wonderful time of life. I encourage every young person to live life to its fullest. You only have one. Take advantage of it. If God's given you opportunity or talent or skills or brains or whatever it is, use it. Don't waste your time. Don't sit around on your hands. Don't waste your time wishing you were somebody else, wishing you'd been born somewhere else, wishing you had something you don't have. Take the hand you've been dealt and use that thing. Live life to its fullest. I mean, really, really go for the gusto. Now, I'm not talking about partying it up, living like hell. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not living anyway. That's an imitation of real life. When I say live it up and live life to its fullest, I'm talking about do all you can, accomplish all you can, do for others, and live for God. And you will have the richest, fullest life possible. The Bible said, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life shall find it. And when your life is all centered just about you, you miss most of it. To live life to the fullest is to live it for God and live it for others and live it outside of yourself. But to live it is not only to live for others and live for God, it's to get as much done and cram as much into it as you can. Years ago, I don't guess I've preached this in a long time, but I used to say a lot, you ought to live your life tired. You just can't get all done that needs to be done in 8 hours a day. It takes more than that. And people say, oh, I need my sleep, I need my rest. Well, you're a sluggard, and you'll live a sluggard's life, and when you get down to the end, you'll have the sluggard's result. You'll be saying, I wish I'd have done this. Boy, and if I had it to do over again, I'd do this and that and that. Don't end up there. Don't end up there. You got life in front of you, take it by the horns and do all with it God Almighty will allow you to do. Put God in first place, live for Him, make everything you steward for His honor and glory, do as much good and help as many as you can, and live life intensely. Enjoy it. Enjoy the sunset, enjoy the flower, wake up and smell the roses, but do something with it. Don't just sit there and while it away one day at a time. Let me tell you how people wake up to be 65 and 70 years old, having accomplished nothing, and wishing they could do it over. Here's how they do it. They put everything off one day at a time. And before you know it, the days have come and the days have gone, and now it's all in past tense, and you say, where did it go? How did it happen? How did this person get this much done? And how did they accomplish so much in their life? They got up and they were energetic and they lived life. They didn't let it just slip by. They didn't sit on their hands. They were not apathetic. They got up and they got busy. And the really successful ones are the ones who got up and got busy and put God Almighty at the center of everything they do. Our youth. That young man, the pride of the young man, of course, is his strength. Macho, we're young, we're strong, we can do it all. Matter of fact, some of the problems with youth is they think they know more than they really know. And if they're not careful, it leads them to make mistakes. Job chapter 32 and verse 6, where Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzzite answered and said, I'm young and ye are very old. Now that's Job in his illness and distress, and his friends have come to comfort him, and they all take aim at him and shoot at him for 7 days. And they just riddle Job with bullet holes. And finally, here's this young man, and he comes up and he starts out so pious. You can go over there and read it sometime. He said, I know that the old men ought to be heard first, and I kept silence because I'm young and you're the old man and this, that, and the other. But then he said, now a lot of times old men aren't wise. He's saying, you don't know what you're talking about, Job. Therefore, I've decided to give my response. I'm going to give my side. And then, of course, he lights into Job. And you know what? He's just dead wrong. He should have sat down and kept his mouth shut and listened to the old man. Job had it right. Now, Job didn't know he had it right. And he didn't have it for the right reason, but he had it right. And right is right no matter how you get it right. Amen. But I thought, yeah, that's typical of young people. They always want to tell us old folks that we're out of touch. We don't know what's going on. Oh, Mom, oh, Dad, things are different now. We don't do it like that anymore. The world's a different place. What they're saying is, y'all don't know what you're talking about. We've got all the brains. We've got all the wisdom. No, you don't. You don't even have the questions, much less the answers. You better spend some time talking to somebody that's lived some life and been down that road. They can spare you a lot of heartache and they can spare you a lot of grief if you would just sit down and counsel with some of them instead of being so dog fire sure that you know everything and you've got all the answers and that Mom and Dad and the preacher and all them old fogies are just trying to make your life as miserable as they can. What we're trying to do is keep you from having a miserable life. Now, first we dealt with the young. Then in Psalm 37, verse 25, said, I was young, past tense. Didn't stay young very long. I was young, and now am old. Did you notice there's no middle ground in that thing? It just went from young to old in one fell swoop, in one death move. There's no history of an intermediate period. Just went from the one to the other. You say, well, you know, what about all them middle years? Listen. We start out young, and the next thing you realize, because we're ignorant, you start out young, and before you know it, the first time you really start to think about anything, you're old. You're so busy in those intervening years, in that middle period, that there's not much time for reflection or any real thinking. You're building experiences and this, that, and the other and accomplishing things, and it occupies your mind, it takes your energy, it takes your imagination, and one day we just wake up and realize, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm old. Them middle years just slip away. And boy, sometimes you look around, it's hard to figure out where they went. Boy, it's a shame the way some people wake up to it. You ever notice that some people seem like they get so much done and accomplish so much? And they get on up in their latter years, they talk about, well, I did this and I did that, and we accomplished this, and we were involved in that. And it just seems like their life is kind of a storybook kind of a thing. Now, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Those people had their problems just like you did. They just didn't let their problems beat them. They dealt with them. They didn't say, oh, I can't cope with this. And throw in the towel and sit down and die. They took their licks. They felt their pain, but they just kept right on going. And when the thing is over, they get down to the end of the road, and even though they had their share of pain and sorrow and failure, they still managed to get something done in their lifetime. I'm weary of looking at people in their 50s and 60s who are self-absorbed and sorry for self because they're looking back over a wasted life. They just didn't get anything done. And they want to find somebody or something to blame it on. And the honest truth is, you had the same 50, 60 years and the same 24 hours in each one, and you had a strong body and a good mind, you just didn't do anything with it. What a waste! What a waste! Don't let that happen to you. Youth is gone, middle years have slipped away, and now I'm old. Now, I must confess that old age has a way of changing It was 45 or 50 at one time. Then it was 65 or 70. And right now it's rocking on about 90. And every time I get within 15 or 20 years of it, we push it back a little. But I know that no matter what, I will get there sooner or later. Let me give you some observation. I'm 66 years old. I got gray hair. I've been down the road a mile or two. I've seen a thing or two. I've had some good times and some bad. Life has been, had its successes and its failures, had our accomplishments and our disappointments. Life has had its bitter as well as its sweet. But now we're on the downhill side. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not being melancholy, neither am I being gloomy. I'm just facing a reality. I still hope to have 20 or 25 or 30 or 50 years. I'm praying for breakthroughs in technology all the time. I would like to find some chemical substance to keep me alive till Jesus comes. Amen. But be that as it may, I'm still aware that the years are passing. Here's some things I've observed. I'll give you three, and then we'll go home. I'll be very short this morning. In Psalm 37, verse 25, said, I was young, now am old. How did that happen? How did we just go from being young to being old? Let me give you three quick observations. Number one, it happened quicker than you can possibly imagine. It's astounding how one day you're a teenager, a young person, early 20s, just turned 30, just got the black candles for turning 40 or 50, and I mean, it just, you know, and it's just a nice even flow. And then one day you wake up and there's not much to look forward to. It seems like the preponderance of your life is in the past. And you say, my goodness, how did I get here? How did that happen to me? I was living, I was happy, I was active. I've got plans. I've got everything all figured out. I've had my life figured out 100 times. It ain't never went according to plan. I've got more canceled plans, more scrapped plans than you can shake a stick at. Why, when I was young, I was going to do this and that and the other. I got some of it done. I didn't get some of it done. Then something came along and I couldn't get over it and couldn't get around it. Had to scrap those plans and go a different route. And I bet you if you look back over your life, there have been some places where you had intended to do this and intended to do that, and something came down and this circumstance took place and whatever, and pretty soon you can't take that road anymore and you got to change them and you went this way. You ever try to look back at your life and figure out how you ended up where you're at now? You say, you know, I never saw myself here. I never saw this, me living like this. I never saw me... Yeah, I know, because that's not the kind of plans you had. But they got altered, they got scrapped, they got changed. And boy, the road that brought you to where you're at right now sometimes is a winding road. Happens overnight. I don't know how many times I've looked back and thought, where did it go? You look at your grandkids or your children, it's in my mind. It's just a little while ago, and our children were... I remember when Keith O'Brien was born. I remember her brother picking him up by the diaper and holding him this way, and his little head and his little feet hanging down. And Charlie looked at him and said, man, he's ugly. And Brenda breaking out into tears. And he wasn't ugly. He was red and wrinkled. Well, you can't tell Mama that. That was just the other day. I remember him sitting in the floor with nothing on his little skinny butt, playing with some little toy, and I said something to him, and he just looked up and just laughed all over the place. I remember them two girls when they was little, walking around in the living room. Mama would take them in and give them a bath and put their little cotton gown things on them and then brush their hair, and their hair was just like gold when they were little. And they'd come in there, and they would just shine, them little pink faces. That long, pretty golden hair. And they smell just like Johnson's baby powder and shampoo and stuff. just yesterday. And now they're married and got kids, and their kids are old enough to have kids. Where'd that go? How did that get away from me without me seeing it, without us knowing it? It's all of us. How did we go from once I was young and now I'm old in one sentence? No commas or anything in there. I mean, it just happened. It happens faster than you can possibly imagine. You better get it done while you can, because it'll be gone before you know it. Secondly, almost nothing when it's planned. Man, when I was 17, I had a ton of plans. I remember lying to my wife when she was my girlfriend and said, if you'll marry me, we're going to do this and this and this. Most of that never, ever came to pass. Now, I'm not saying that to say it was all bad. Our life has been good. And most of the time, your life has been pretty good. It's just not exactly how you had it planned out. You say, well, we was going to do this, but this happened, and we had to, you know. Well, we didn't have any choice, because this, I understand. The point is, though, it didn't go as planned. You've had to scrap them plans over and over and over again, and adjust them and refigure them and start all over again and keep on trucking. Amen? And the successes in life are the ones who can make the changes and keep on trucking without getting beat down. The losers in life is when they come up to a change, they can't cope with the change, they can't deal with it, and they let the changes and the disappointments beat them down and ruin them. Happen quicker than you can imagine. Almost nothing goes as planned. Now we accomplished some things, you know. I can look back over my life and I've had a good life. And I've done a lot of stuff. It's just that a lot of it isn't what I initially thought I was going to do. Amen? And the third, life was filled with good and bad, success and failure, sweet and bitter, and surprises. I don't care how good your life is or how bad. It makes no difference. This is something I've observed. It makes no difference. Whether your life has been a fairy tale or whether it's been a horror story, won't make any difference. When you get down toward the end and look back on it, you'll have to admit there were some surprises. There were some things that came your way that with all your planning and all your looking forward and all your surmising and all the things that you wanted to do and get accomplished and all the places you wanted to go and all the things you wanted to have, some things came up that just absolutely and totally caught you off guard. You see, you know, I thought I had planned for every contingency. I thought I had looked at every possible scenario. I just never saw this coming. Last Monday, we were in Sevierville, up around Gatlinburg. Take a couple of days. It's been a tough 2 or 3 weeks since Pop died, and a lot of paperwork, and just so we took a couple of days, and we're up there having a good time. We're going to shop till we drop. I ain't going to eat nothing but good stuff. I'm stay in a nice hotel and shop in the best stores. Amen. And we're working that as hard as we can go. I found all the pawn shops in Sevierville and checked them all out. I love pawn shops. But they didn't have anything I wanted. But I found a gun store, and they did have a nice shotgun I really liked. And I brought it home with me. We're doing exactly what we want to do. We're just getting away from it all and relaxing, having a good time, enjoying each other. And that phone. You know, it only takes one phone call to turn your life upside down. And they tell us course, you know, I never, in my wildest dreams, did I ever plan on having a child in prison. That's just, we just don't live that way. That's just that's not our family. It's not how we live. So when all that went down here in the last few months, I mean, that just, it tore us up. We've been a wreck. And then we get that phone call. He's unconscious. And we don't know whether he's dead or alive, and we don't even know where he's at. Man, we go into a mad scramble trying to get it together and get back down the mountain, making phone calls. Now, you know what it was? It was a surprise. You see, I planned on retiring. We got a little bit of money, and we were going to travel a little bit, go some places and do some things we never got a chance to do. Pastor this church, and going to write a little and visit some. That's how I got it all planned out. That's what we've been working for 50 years. Surprise! I don't know how that's going to work out yet, but it sure ain't going to be like I had it planned. In a moment of time, all of our plans get thrown out the window. This is what I would call a surprise. That's not how you figured it. This is not what you anticipated. I just got adjusted to the situation we were dealing with. And now I got to go and change it all again. Now I got a couple options. And listen, I'm using myself as an example. But it happens in your life, and it either has already or it will at some point. Maybe not exactly the same thing, but I'm telling you, all of us get shook up along the way somewhere. It just happens. So now we're in limbo. So we don't know how it's going to go. He may die. Well, here's the scenario, and here's all the stuff that goes with that. He may survive and be an invalid. Well, that'll change our plans. Hey, man, that's going to shake our whole life up. Well, I just don't think I could deal with that. Well, we don't have any choice. We're going to deal with what we get, and we're going to handle it one way or another. And by the grace of God, we'll do what we're supposed to do and do right and love God while we're doing it. You only got two choices when you get them surprises. You either deal with them right or you deal with them wrong. You handle it or it handles you, one or the other. God knows my prayer is you never face anything like it. It would thrill me to death if all God's people could live good, clean lives and raise their children and have their grandbabies and just slip out of here in old age with never a conflict and never a surprise. That'd thrill me to death. But it ain't going to happen. Some of you will make out okay. Some of us won't. But whichever way it is, if God is gracious and you never have a surprise that devastates you, you've got to be careful to stay close to God. If you have a surprise and it overwhelms you and floors you, you've got to cling to God. The secret to life, no matter what happens, no matter what kind of surprise you have, no matter what kind of devastation you have, no matter what kind of blessing you have, the secret to life and being a success is staying close to God no matter what. I close this last verse and we'll close. I found a lot of comfort in this verse in the past week. I know everybody has their own verse and God uses one for you and one for you and a different one for me. I understand that. But I thought about this right good bit this week. Isaiah 46 and verse 4 said, "And even to your old age, I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I've made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. And all we faced in the past few days, and all we're probably going to face in the coming days, I have absolute confidence that when I can't carry and I can't walk, when it's more than I can bear, God will carry. He has been so good and so gracious. He did not keep the storm from coming, but He has sure been with us in the storm. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, to know God, to know Christ in the agonies of life is the sweetest thing you'll ever do. I cannot imagine the last year, and especially the last week, without Christ to cling to. Without having Him for support, without having Him for strength, without having Him for counsel, I don't think I'm man enough to have got through it. But God has been sufficient. I give Him this morning all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And I say all that for this. If you don't know Him, you ought to meet Him. If you'd come this morning, I'd take plenty of time. We'll sit down and take this old King James Bible, and I'd introduce you to the great God of glory that sustains us and keeps us and loves us. You ought to know this Christ. You ought to know this God. There'll come a day, there'll come a time when you'll need Him. And He is always there. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Pray that You'd help us and strengthen us, sustain us. Lord, You've just been amazing. You've been wonderful. Cannot possibly give You enough praise and honor and glory for the things that You've done for us, the way You've met our needs, the way You've comforted our heart. For that we are eternally grateful. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howled about me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of Thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Amen.